It's Marketplace Tech for Friday the 15th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, a new version of the movie Ghostbusters is out in theaters around the country. When the original dropped more than 30 years ago, it was an ode to science geeks, the supernatural and weird imaginary technology like proton packs.
You know, it's just occurred to me we really haven't had a completely successful test of this equipment.
I blame myself.
So do I.
Well, no sense worrying about it now.
Why worry? Each of us is wearing an unlicensed nuclear accelerator on his back.
Those unlicensed nuclear accelerators are also on the backs of new Ghostbuster women today. The way the proton guns and the ghosts they corral will be rendered will be different, too. Marketplace's entertainment correspondent Adrian Hill is here to talk about this. Adrian, I have to imagine the capacity for visual effects in Hollywood has changed.
Absolutely. I mean, back when they made the first movie, it was a whole different technological world. I called up John Bruno. He was the original film's visual effects art director and is a bit of a legend in the film world. He's got an Oscar for his visual effects work, lots of nominations. I asked him about the project.
The Marshmallow Man was a guy in a suit on a miniature set. Slimer was a guy in a suit. The building was a miniature, because that building didn't exist. It was, I think it was 15 feet tall.
So all of this stuff was sort of shot in camera as much as possible, and they added effects on the end, but they weren't the same sort of digital effects we're used to today.
How different were things on the new movie that's out today?
They were really different. I had a chance to sit down with Pete Travers from Sony Imageworks. He's the visual effects supervisor on the new Ghostbusters. He worked with an army of 500 people on the effects in this movie. And I asked him about today's digital technology.
It's a bag of tricks. And so now we have a much bigger bag. It's my job to support the director and his vision. And of course, because of the technological advancements in like character animation, we can do any character that you could possibly think of.
So this time around, Slimer and the Marshmallow Man are digital. They're not guys in suits. But even though they have all the access to tech that they do, they still used actors to play some of the ghosts, sort of with costumes lit up with LED lights, and then added some digital effects afterward.
This is not acting against a tennis ball. It's like, no, you can actually see the ghost, and you can see the light bleed from her costume onto the environment, onto the girls, so on and so forth.
I guess that would make it easier in some ways. Anything else that hasn't changed?
Yeah, sliming the actors. Apparently, Travers told me, you still have to spray real-life goo on real-life actors to get the best performances.
Method. It's very method. Adrian Hill, Marketplace's entertainment correspondent. Adrian, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
It's time for a little Silicon Tally. My adversary this week is Jesse Hempel, editorial director at Wired's tech publication on Medium called The Back Channel. Jesse, are you ready to play the game where we try to stump each other with numbers from the week's tech news?
I am ready to play the game where I stump you with numbers from this week.
Oh, well played. Good answer. Okay, 300 pounds.
The amount of weight that a BuzzFeed reporter gained while eating a watermelon on Facebook Live.
This is the weight of a 5-foot-tall mall security robot that knocked over and injured a toddler at the Stanford Shopping Center in Palo Alto, California. Of course, it was the Stanford Shopping Center. After the child was pushed over, the robot, you know, just kept moving on, unfazed, as robots do. What do you think about a mall security robot?
I would say no way, no how to the robot, mostly because in 30 to 40 years, when no other job is available to me as a human being, I want to have options.
All right. What do you got for me?
Okay. So $40,000.
The starting salary for an intern at Snapchat.
It's the amount that a lawsuit filed by Hyperloop One co-founder Brogan alleges his co-founder, Shervin Pishavar, paid his fiance monthly for her PR services. I would say that very shortly we are going to see a countersuit. So look out, because that news will be fun.
Fun for everyone not involved in the lawsuit.
I think that's fair to say.
All right. 33 minutes on average per day.
Is the amount of time millennials spend on Snapchat conversing about things their parents would like them not to know about.
This is, of course, the amount of time per day that people were playing Pokemon Go on iOS, according to mobile app data company Sensor Tower.
Right. The magic number that I wish I could see is the number by which Snapchat traffic probably fell over the weekend. Because we have limited attention, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so
only so many minutes in the day.
If we're going to direct our attention in one way, that means it's coming from another.
All right, Jesse, hit me.
90%.
90% of all Spotify playlists are centered around Beyonce.
That's the percentage of the search market Google has captured in Europe.
Whoa.
So this week, the EU announced a new set of antitrust charges against the company, and that's
right.
The third since 2015.
Europe and Google, not good friends right now.
They would probably not select each other on Tinder.
They're both swiping left.
I would say that they have a difficult and increasingly difficult relationship, and mm-hmm. that relationship is a significant business threat for Google.
Jesse Hempel, editorial director of Backchannel. Jesse, thanks for coming in and playing along.
All right, thank you.
And seems like every day is National Something Day, but this Sunday is World Emoji Day. They are common in our texts, our tweets, and our payments on the mobile payment app Venmo, which is owned by PayPal. On Venmo, where transactions can be somewhat public, 30% of payments have emojis attached to them by users. Pablo Rodriguez is PayPal's director of global consumer initiatives. He says Venmo wants to make transactions more social. So think of that memo line on a personal check.
The social feed on Venmo, I would say, is inherently the new memo line for Venmo users. You are able to transact and recall a memory through that as opposed to just making it about the transaction.
Okay, the most popular emoji memories, as Venmo would call them, the pizza slice, the clinking beers, the glass of red wine, and the house. In between meals, you got to pay the rent. PayPal, by the way, reports its earnings next week. We will have to wait and see if they report in emojis. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.